Hello and welcome to another episode of I Can Talk Kayfabe, because that's what we do here. We talk kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And so something interesting happened to you recently on Twitter.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I forgot to talk about this in the last episode. But
yeah.
So recently, I was posting our show on Twitter, as I do every week. And I was, it was an issue that we talked about, the PWI one, PWI 25. The
25 with Hulk Hogan on the cover.
With Hulk Hogan on the cover. And I was like, well, Hulk Hogan should be tagged in this. I was going to tag Hulk Hogan. And I go to tag Hulk Hogan, and his name's not coming up in my thing. And I'm like, well, what the hell? Do I not have the right address? It should be just at Hulk Hogan, right? So I go and I look on, you know, I just type, you know, I open up in the browser and I look for him on Twitter, see his account, click on it, and it says I've been blocked by the Hulkster. And I have never been blocked by a celebrity. And here's the thing. I don't normally go on Twitter and talk shit to people.
No, you don't.
I don't have time to do that.
No.
I really feel that's kind of a waste of time.
You're also a grown man, so
I'm also a grown man, and I am not I mean, I'm passionate about things, but I'm not passionate enough to say something to somebody and have them, you know, and even say something to somebody with a certain context in mind and have them take it out of context.
Yeah.
And have them be upset about it. And for somebody that, like, I mean, look, I work in entertainment. I don't want to make any enemies.
No, your paths might cross, especially in your line of work.
It's a thing. It's like I've crossed paths with many people that I've connected with over the years, you know, on random passing things. And, you know, yeah, I mean, maybe I've talked shit about some people and I've had certain thoughts about people. And I'll, you know, look, if that's what I said, that's what I said. I'm not going to not, if you, whatever, this is how it is. You know, I guess I'll back up what I said because, you know, put your name on it. You know, that's what Herman Edwards would say, right?
Yeah.
Put your name on it. But anyways, getting back to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan.
So Hulk Hogan, we assume Hulk Hogan had blocked me because I think maybe he just saw that we tagged him and he was like, you know, what happens is when you tag on Twitter, when you tag somebody, if you tag a bunch of people on Twitter and somebody responds to that comment, they respond to everybody attached to that comment.
Yeah.
And that's got to be very annoying if you're a public figure and you're being added by a person that's just having a conversation with each other, but you're for some reason caught in it. And you keep getting notifications. And that's got to be really annoying. So I can understand. So maybe that was part of the reason.
Maybe.
It's possible. However, it's also possible that he did listen to the show. And at some point, and, you know, maybe heard our many Hulk Hogan-related jokes.
Mm-hmm.
At least definitely coming from me. Talk about the you know, oh, too much pork, you know, these nice drapes.
I think
the sex tape.
We're referring to the Hulk Hogan Mike Tyson episode.
That was a very Hulk-centric episode.
Yeah.
But here's the thing too.
And I feel that's the last time we had to tag him on a tweet.
Probably
to this tag.
Yeah, probably.
That we're talking about from a couple weeks ago now.
And there's a lot of fantasy in that.
It's a great article, great story. I feel it's a great story. Everyone needs to go back and listen to that episode of our podcast.
Yes.
I feel it's our best work.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And Hulk Hogan blocked you.
I think he blocked me because of that. You know, it's either that or actually, I don't know. I don't know what he, I mean, maybe he listened to it. Maybe somebody told him these guys are schmucks. I don't know. I was going to say, we are very supportive of Hulk in a lot of ways here. Anytime we see alternate Hulk Hogan outfits, we are very excited to talk about it.
Exactly.
That is our big thing.
Like his Japanese outfits.
Yeah.
When he wears the Japanese robe and he's got the Japanese lettering on the black trunks.
Or
blue trunk Hulk Hogan. That's very rare. Yes, we love Hulk Hogan.
Maybe he didn't also, because I also did post a recent picture on Twitter that I took from one of these magazines of, it's a fucking awesome picture of him, you know, with a Japanese shirt. It was like a Japanese t-shirt, and it's from clearly from like 82, whatever, you know, it's like Thunder Lips era Hogan. And he's got the dark tinted glasses and he's playing the bass.
Awesome.
Fucking awesome photo. Like my brother saw it and he's like, my God, I wish I could be this cool. Cause it's just a fucking badass photo. But the caption was like, oh, Metallica didn't know what they're missing.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe he got wind of that. Because I probably tagged him in that, and maybe he's like, this dude is a jabroni. I also want to hope that he called me a jabroni. I definitely want that to be...
Does Hulk Hogan call people jabronis? I don't ever remember.
I think he does. I feel like he's a jabroni caller.
Hmm.
Did you look at the camera to see if anybody else would agree to you?
I was actually looking to make sure I hit record.
I saw you did. But I see the red dot. Yeah. So, yeah, so that happened in my life. And I guess I'm better off for it.
No, you're not. You shouldn't be blocked by the Hulkster.
I don't know. I just like the attention that I'm not getting by getting it.
You are getting attention from Hulkster by being blocked. That's for sure.
He paid attention, or somebody that helped manage his social media. Because I assume that he. I think he probably definitely does tweet himself, but there's probably people that are like, "Hey, man, chill out on."
Yeah,
that.
He's probably gotten. It's probably Jimmy Hart who handles his Twitter.
Oh, see, that makes me more sad though, because Jimmy Hart's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I actually had a conversation with Jimmy Hart because what the fuck was I doing talking to him? I want to say it was the Ballpark Brawl, the second one, because we were doing something about him. Maybe he was calling into the Mayhem, and I, for some reason, had to coordinate it. And John Big Mosh was like, "Yeah, call Jimmy Hart." So I called Jimmy Hart, and he's like, "Hey, baby, how's it going? Yeah, so I'm driving now. I got these kids that are training, and oh man, these kids are whatever." And I'm like, "Haha, yeah, you know," because I don't know what the fuck. I'm just here doing this. Hey, what up? You know. And he's like, "All right, baby, you know, whatever."
I feel like he should end every conversation with "Keep on dancing and a prancing." That's Jimmy Hart. That should be like when he signs autographs. That's how he should sign it. "Keep on dancing and a prancing," and then that's how he should end every conversation. Or he should have his own podcast, and that's how he should sign off.
Keep dancing and prancing. Dancing and prancing with Jimmy Hart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can make that happen. Who knows?
Yeah. Jimmy Hart, I just gave you $1 million idea.
$1 million. Come on. Because podcasting is so lucrative.
For Jimmy Hart, it is. Keep on dancing and prancing. And then people will be like, "Wait a minute, Jimmy Hart. He sang that song." Well, he didn't sing that song, but he wrote that song, and
he's set. He's fine.
Yeah. Still, keep on dancing and a prancing.
I don't know anything about Jimmy Hart's personal life. Is he married? Does he have kids?
I have no idea about. I know he had a hair transplant.
Right, and he just hung out with Hulk Hogan all the time.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all you need to do in life. If you're friends with the Hulkster, I think you're set.
I don't know. I mean, Beefcake had a hard go.
Well, Beefcake decided he was going to get married and have like family, whereas Jimmy Hart,
right? But he would be, I mean, at some point, you know. I mean, he ended up as a toll, a subway toll collector in Boston.
That's amazing, though.
Well, no, but I mean, if you're Hulk Hogan's friend and you can't, you know, and you're hanging and banging with the Hulkster,
I feel like he did that as a choice. He's just collecting tolls because he wants to. Because
he needs some excitement in his life, yeah. And he needs to be amongst the masses at Downtown Crossing in Boston.
I feel like if I was as successful as Brutus Beefcake in my later years, I would also be a toll collector, because that would be amazing.
Bored Brutus Beefcake. Brutus the Bored Beefcake.
Just imagine, like, if you're a wrestling fan, you go through his toll, and you're like, you do a double take. You're like, "Wait a minute, that's the barber, and he's taking my toll. That's awesome."
Like, you're not a toll taker, you're a barber. That guy's a Cody.
My old friend is, I guess I'll refer to him now, is Sean, the guy who did our theme song, Cosmo, on I don't know his Twitter handle. I'll put whatever. Anyway, he grew up in Florida, and so he would see wrestlers all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's where they grow wrestlers.
Yeah, and so
literally.
He said one time he went to an Arby's, and Steve Kern was working at Arby's.
No.
Yeah.
Like behind the counter?
Yeah, behind the counter.
Like taking orders?
Yeah, like Steve Kern was.
No, I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that.
And
I refuse to believe it. I'm not believing it. I am not believing that Steve Kern, with all of his Skinner money, and he was an agent.
Yeah, it was after Skinner, and it was after he was like one of the doinks. He was working at Arby's.
I refuse to believe that. No, I'm not believing it. I'm not believing
it. That's his story, not mine.
I don't believe your friend. I don't believe your friend, and I don't want to believe it. I don't want it ever spoken again. I'm very upset by that. We just talked about Steve Kern last episode.
Yeah.
Steve Gator Kern. We talk about pre-Skinner Skinner.
We talk about Steve Kern in almost every episode. You can go back, and we'll talk about Steve Kern pretty much.
We talk about him. We talk about Albert. Yeah, we have our favorites.
And Billy Jack Haynes.
We got to make sure one of these days, when we figure this out, goddammit, we'll figure out how to do this tournament.
Yeah.
This pro wrestling tournament that maybe three of you will watch. Mm-hmm. But if you do it, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Hot damn it.
So we should take a break so we can start talking.
Yeah, let's take a break. I have to recover from finding out that Steve Byrne possibly worked at an Arby's. Because that's a bit. It's a bit much for me. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about another edition of TV Wrestlers.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed, so.
Oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we're back, and we were talking about Steve Kern working at Arby's throughout the whole break.
It was because I am traumatized because, well, Joe hypothesized that possibly he might have been like a manager or like a supervisor or a franchise owner.
Yeah.
But why would he be working behind the counter? Because it's saying, again, he had to, that means that Steve Kern had to have, if he works behind a counter, if he was just a guy slinging corn or whatever, beef and cheese, that he would actually have to walk in there and be like, hi, I was Skinner. Give me a, have an application to work here, please. And then he filled that thing out and they went, he had to get an interview.
Yeah.
He had to be interviewed by a kid that was probably much younger than him. And they were like, what kind of experience do you have? He's like, well, I was a second doink. And he was like, you're hired.
He's like, I was Skinner. I used to chew tobacco and wrestle and spit tobacco in people's faces.
And the second question was, will you be chewing tobacco while you make beef and cheddar?
Will that get me the job?
Yes.
And I, yeah. I
mean, Steve Kern, formerly of The Fabulous Ones and Bad Attitude with with Bobby Eaton in WCW 1994. You are now hired.
Bobby Eaton tagged with Steve Kern?
Yeah, you didn't know. That's a very. If the WWF would get off, WWE Network get off their ass and start putting WCW Saturday Nights up on there.
Yeah.
And we get up to 94. There was a run where Steve Kern and Bobby Eaton did tag together.
Wow.
In a team called Bad Attitude.
Well, we're not quite there in this episode. No. We are on TV Wrestlers 91, December of 91.
December, so now we have an official date.
We have an official date and month.
Yeah.
No, it's number 11. The last one we did was number 8.
Yes.
And this is it's a pretty good cover. Not as good as the last one.
Not as good as a cover, but we're talking, just a heads up, we're talking about Flair getting fired.
Yeah.
So we're talking around.
It's breaking kayfabe, really.
It is breaking kayfabe. Well, not really. I mean, because they did talk about this in the aftermags and stuff. It's a little bit more a little bit more non kayfabe, but it is. Isn't on
the WWF drug scandal?
Yeah,
yeah. There's actually a lot of kayfabe being broken.
So this kind of puts it around June, July '91. Yeah. So you have right on the cover. Okay, first of all, I want to point out TV Wrestlers, right? Glorifying the American wrestler,
of course. Yeah,
because they must have doubled down for some reason on the American part of it. Because
American,
unless if they did.
There's not much.
Although wait a minute, I mean, you know, Bret Hart clearly, you know. He's a Canadian. I mean, he wrestles mostly in America, but he would not be happy about this. 1997, Bret Hart would not be happy.
Yeah, he got like lumped into Hogan and Flair and Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so on the cover here, we have a Flair. Yeah, he's doing a woo and he's looking over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, he's standing. It's a shot from in the ring and whatever. And
long hair Ric Flair.
Long hair Ric Flair. And it says, WCW terminates Flair. Champ stripped over money. Yeah. Which I believe is pretty much correct, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they wanted to cut his pay in half or something.
And they wanted to make him a Spartan. Like, yeah. That was a story. Like, Jim Herd wanted to. Jim Herd just basically badgered the fuck out of him until he eventually just got rid of him.
Yeah.
And that was the dumbest thing he could have did. Yeah, but that's like, you know,
Jim Herd wasn't around much longer.
Yeah, Jim Herd didn't have much of a career after that.
Yeah.
And then you have on the right side, you have ugly R&R breakup. Morton turns into a sleazy creep.
Yeah, he's a sleaze.
Yeah.
Sleazy creep.
Sleazy creep. He just joined the
York Foundation.
The York Foundation and stuff.
Richard Morton.
Yes. You have boob tube brawls. Hardliners go nutzoid.
Yeah.
Which shout out to the Hardliners. Well, I'm looking forward to maybe talking about them a little bit. It's an underrated WCW team that didn't do much other than ruin Scott Steiner's career for a couple months.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But at the very top, yes, the WWF drug scandal. You have a picture of Hulk Hogan, and in the corner says WWF drug scandal. And at the very top, Hulk took steroids, confesses on TV. Has he really stopped?
This is a good way to not get unblocked by Hulk Hogan by talking about this.
I'll just somehow like tag like I'll just tag all his fan accounts and be like, "Could you ask Hulk if he's still taking steroids?" Yeah. And then on the side, actually, this is my favorite thing. It's a picture of Undertaker about to tombstone Coco Beware.
Yeah.
And it says, "Wrestling's first snuff. Will Undertaker kill in the ring?"
Oh, wow.
That's pretty intense.
I don't think he will.
No, he won't. And I will say this, that Undertaker in the 90s, a lot of articles about him were very, like, up until maybe, like, shit, like 93, 94-ish. I mean, I don't even know. Maybe even still then. They just treated him like he was really going to kill people.
Yeah. Well, he was the Undertaker.
It was the Undertaker.
Because he was a two-for-one deal. He could kill them and then do their funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very, very morbid.
And he's like, oh, this is another customer. He had dollar signs in his eyes when he wrestled.
Well, DiBiase was on DiBiase's team. He did DiBiase probably did give him some business tips.
Yeah.
And at the very bottom, you have a picture of Bret Hart, and it says, SummerSlam update, which for some reason is vertical. Mm-hmm. And it's not straight across, so you have to kind of turn your head to see that. But in the box underneath, it says, Bret Hart declares Mr. Perfect is puke.
He's puke.
I don't feel that that's really a Bret Hart thing to say.
Darren Drozdoff is puke.
Actually, it would have been great if he says, Bret Hart declares that Darren Drozdoff is puke. And then this article is just Darren Drozdoff and me like, yep.
I concur.
That's correct. I am puke. So let's get into this book, Boob Tube Brawl. So now this time, this magazine... this article, the Boob Tube Brawls, is not written by Mad Mac. It is written by Mad Maxine.
Yeah.
It's written by Gal, talking about wrestling here. And
I wonder if she was inspired to be called Mad Maxine from Mad Maxine the Wrestler, Lady Maxine.
Or maybe her name was just Maxine, and they're like, you can be Mad Maxine. And she's like, all right.
She's like, what if, but there was another Mad Maxine. They're like, too bad.
Yeah.
You don't have a mohawk. Nobody will confuse you.
Yeah. So you just got a bunch of some pictures of her at hanging out with Captain Lou, because it's a New York based magazine. So yeah, you're hanging out with Captain Lou. Fucking bloody ass barbed wire match picture with Cactus Jack and Eddie Gilbert. I heard that's a very good match. Mm-hmm. And then you have, yeah, it's kind of like, it's a, the way that this is written, it's kind of written from like, okay, so in the after mags, you had a woman. I don't know if she was a real woman, but she was a columnist called Liz Hunter. And Liz would kind of, you know, she would write legitimately about wrestling journalism, but she kind of have a little bit of a slant of like sensationalism and talking about wrestlers, you know, obviously it wasn't, you know, kind of like a hot man, female, you know, gaze or whatever. Yeah. But here it's very much, it's kind of like that, but it's also kind of like gossipy, because there's a part here where it's like, you ever notice how Rick Rude had chest hair and then he didn't? It's because he waxes. That's a scoop. Yeah.
When did Rick Rude have chest hair?
Oh, he's always had chest hair. Like, you know, WCW had chest hair.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm. He didn't have chest hair in WWF, and then he had chest hair in WCW. And then he had his phases. Yeah, and then just a bunch of random bullshit here, talking about matches, you know, like the Eddie Gilbert Hot Stuff match, something about SummerSlam, yeah, just random stuff about SummerSlam. Mad Maxine went to the Madison Square Garden match for a body bag match with Ultimate Warrior and Undertaker.
Wow.
Which Undertaker did a lot of jobs back then.
Yeah, wrestling and body bag matches and jobbing in them, which is kind of weird to think about.
Yeah, but they weren't televised. I don't think that that actually be interesting to see.
Well, if it was an MSG, it probably was. Because they used to televise all their events.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. So you got yourself some letters. Nothing really interesting here. We do have some ratings, though. And is this the one? Okay. So this is the one that Joe had to stop me and tell me about. So in the most popular ratings, here's your most popular, right? Sting. Okay. Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Scott Steiner. Okay. Wild Thing Stevie Ray.
Yeah.
Number four.
Number four.
Wild Thing Stevie Ray. Not Stevie Ray from Harlem Heat. We're talking Wild Thing Stevie Ray from the UWF, who used a tag team with Sunny Beach.
Yeah.
And was once in a horrendously fucked up match with Dr. Death Steve Williams, in which I believe Dr. Death beat the shit out of him.
Good. He probably had it coming.
And I know this guy's name because I remember seeing him a lot in, you know, like PWI being mentioned, you know, nothing like serious, but like they mentioned him. But since this is a non-PWI match magazine, you know, we could put him in number four.
So he's like more popular than Texas Tornado.
He's more popular than Elegante. I could see those both. Yeah. But more popular than Ultimate Warrior.
Or the Macho Man.
Or the Macho Man.
Or Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Or Lex Luger.
Yeah.
The Wild Thing Stevie Ray. He's the fourth most popular wrestler.
Bullshit.
According to the official ratings of TV Wrestler.
I also want to point out popular. So you have most popular, most hated on this first page. And then you have UWF.
UWF. Bam Bigelow number one.
Yeah, Bam Bam Bigelow. And you have all your.
And Sunny Beach is on that. He cracked the top 10.
Sunny Beach is number nine.
Right above Colonel DeBeers. Post Scott Hall feud, Colonel DeBeers.
Yeah. I'm surprised that's still not going on here. And then our buddy Stevie Ray, number four.
Yeah.
He just likes that number four. These are gigantic ratings.
Yeah.
And also Wet and Wild, the rating, the tag team of him and Sunny Beach, number 10. So he's all over this fucking thing.
They're putting over Sunny Beach and Stevie Ray.
He is the Scott Hall of TV wrestlers.
Yeah.
And then we get our non-affiliated ratings. Let's see who's in the non-affiliated. Let's see what's going on now.
You got the Honky Tonk Man.
Honky Tonk. You got Rude, Volkoff, Cactus Jack, Norman. Norman's already out on the streets. Yeah. He already trucked his way out of a job at WCW.
Uh-huh.
Paul Orndorff, Abdul the Butcher, Sexy Sunny Beach.
Yeah.
Afa.
And Bob Orton.
Yeah. And then I like how they do rate the managers as like they definitely like have to do that.
Diamond Dallas Page, number two.
Yeah.
Coming in at number two, above Big Daddy Dink.
Well, it's because at the time, him and Dink were managing the Freebirds, and they were the tag champs, and they were U.S. tag champs. It was back with the Freebirds, the Jimmy Gordon, Jimmy Garvin, Michael Hayes version were probably at their height.
Yeah.
And
Bad Street.
Bad Street. Yeah, Bad Street's in there too. IWCCW. Let's talk about these ratings here.
Yeah, you got Tony Atlas as the champ.
You got Tasmaniac as your light heavyweight champion. You got world class champion Kevin Von Erich, which is basically the only reason why the WCCW is in there.
Yeah.
But he never actually wrestled for them, I don't think. And then you have Vic Steamboat, Mondo Clean, aka Damian Demento, Scott Putski, Ivan Putski, TD Madison, also known as Tommy Dreamer, Big Sweet Williams, Jumpin' Jill Savoldi, Mr. Fantasy, Ray Odyssey, and Curly Moe.
Oh, if that doesn't excite you.
Curly Moe lives in Hollywood. Maybe we can find him.
Oh.
You
got a nice photo of Vic Steamboat and Tony Atlas.
In a match that happened a million times.
Yeah, whereas looks like Steamboat has him in a sleeper, but they refer to it as a jawbreaker.
He technically is jawbreaking him.
Yeah.
You can drop
I remember, it's funny because that reminds me of I was doing play-by-play for an indie promotion, and Mickey Hart, who was Smith Hart's kid, was wrestling somebody, and I couldn't really see because we didn't have monitors, and I referred to it as a chin lock, and Smith Hart yelled at me during my play-by-play. He's like, "It's a sleeper hold," and I was like, "I'm corrected by Smith Hart. It's a sleeper hold." So rest in peace, Smith Hart, and it was a sleeper hold.
Two other things to point out here in the ratings, the WWF ratings, you have your usual suspects. But for some reason, they refer to The Undertaker as Kane the Undertaker.
Yeah, he was originally Kane the Undertaker.
But this doesn't make sense because that was, if he was really referred to as Kane the Undertaker, which by the way was spelled with a K.
Yeah.
That was only like when he debuted.
Yeah, like at that Survivor Series, he was called Kane the Undertaker. The only way you could find it is if you have it on VHS taping it from the TV, because like all of it's been edited. It's just the Undertaker. They make no reference.
Oh, wait, so they actually refer to him when he comes out as
Kane the Undertaker. I didn't know that. Like, I think they referred to him as Kane for a little bit after that, because I remember Brother Love like cutting promos, just like yelling Kane, 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 my Kane, and stuff like that.
Interesting.
But then, yeah, it wasn't too much longer that they dropped Kane and he became the Undertaker.
But if this is like July 1991 or like the summer of 91 that this gets cut off, that was well past that.
Yeah, point. So yeah, this he is... was the Undertaker by then.
Yeah. Also, a UWA Northeast. I want to point out our big man, Chief Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, Chief Thunder Mountain's in there.
You know, we've asked in the past where he came from. Well, he came from here.
Yeah.
So, excuse me.
I wonder where Chief Little in is.
Oh, no, he's hanging out with the pup.
Oh.
They didn't get ranked here. They're in the bottom
20. That promotion was going on while this was...
No, this playing. this was before. That was before this.
No, I found footage of like from 1990. Oh, so, yeah. Oh,
okay. I have to go back and watch those. I haven't watched those yet.
So I have to imagine they were still going around.
Undertaker makes a promise. Hulk Hogan is a dead man.
Oh.
Yeah, because he's beating up.
Jeez, Hulk Hogan's just gonna block me now.
You got some sweet, actually some really good color photos of him beating up on Tugboat.
Good.
Paul. Yeah. You don't like Tugboat.
Yeah.
Tugboat did suck.
He wasn't very good.
Neither was Typhoon. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry about it. They weren't very good.
Neither Earthquake was actually way better.
Yeah.
Earthquake was awesome.
Earthquake actually had talent.
Yeah.
Tugboat was just a big fat guy.
Yeah, he was.
I saw Tugboat as the Big Steel Man in the WWF at a live event.
Did you?
That was the same event I saw Sunny Beach.
Did he wrestle Sunny Beach?
No. Oh. I don't think so. But, yeah, the Big Steel Man, he was managed by Slick.
That's right. And because that's what he was known as, I think, like U.S. Steel and the Continental or something, or Bubba Steel or something like that. In fact, The Undertaker, this man doesn't just want to beat Hulk. He wants to maim or kill him.
Oh.
Yeah, one or the other. Get it. Figure it out, buddy.
Maim or kill.
We got our TV guide. We did it last time. Here's where you can watch IWCCW.
On the Sports Channel.
Saturdays at 5:30.
On the Sports Channel.
Yeah.
Oh, the WCW Power Hour is listed.
Yeah, they have that also a few times. Also, this is when the Global was on like every day.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock.
Shout out to watching Global every day.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah, I didn't watch it every day, but I definitely watched it quite a bit. So. Yeah.
Then we have Flair getting stripped. Basically, it's, you know, they're... being very adamant here about
belts should be won and lost inside the ring. WCW wrong to strip Flair of championship.
What belt is this?
I don't know.
Because that's not the it would either be the that's not like the early.
Yeah, belt. I don't know what belt that is.
And he's in Philly. Like,
it's not the big gold belt, that's for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen that belt.
You know what? I need to take a picture of that and be like, I should ask Flair. Maybe Flair, hopefully Flair won't block me. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch, you probably would block me.
He's like,
because Hulk's like, I heard about you. Terry told me about you. Terry told me about you, woo. don't talk shit about my boy. Yeah. This is what I was talking about before, how there's a lot of different pictures from different eras. Because you have like, obviously whatever picture this is.
Yeah.
You know, from like some random time he had a belt that nobody knew what it was. And then you have different, you know, is already also the summer of 91. So his hair is already short.
Yeah.
Or shortish.
But in all these matches, he has long hair.
Yeah. So they're just using photos. Like, this is clearly a photo from like 1987 of him against Barry Windham.
Yeah.
So what is this? Flair.
Poor result.
Oh, so wait. Speaking of the haircut, I didn't read this.
Lose the haircut. Flair's new look got a thumbs down from his fans.
Well, he cut it so he can fit his fucking hair into the Scorpion mask.
Yeah.
It's not his fault. It's Ole's fault. Blame Ole Anderson.
I feel like Ric Flair at that time needed a haircut anyway, because like the long hair, he had it forever. It was time for a new look. He needed to try something new.
You needed to try Lesbian Mom.
And I dug Lesbian Mom Ric Flair. I thought that was a cool haircut.
But then he let it grow out when he got to the E, so...
No, he had it. He kept it pretty short, I think, his WWF run.
No, it wasn't as long as this, but it was definitely like it was long.
I want to imagine it was more like this.
No. Go back and watch Rumble 92.
By then it was
long. Maybe when he first started, but eventually he let it grow, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
by the 92 Rumble, it was past his ears again. Yeah.
This is the hard hitting journalism that we do on this show.
Yeah, it's right next to a word search.
Oh yeah, the word search.
Wrestler's word search.
I want to say here. Oh God, it was in the other one where they had the listing here of all the things you had to find. And this one, in that one, it was wrestlers. And for some reason, one of the names was Mr. Pooh. I don't know why it was Mr. Pooh. I'm assuming it was maybe Mr. Pogo, but they decided to leave the letter out. So, SummerSlam preview. So, okay, so we're not at SummerSlam yet. So we're definitely like in July.
Got the Hitman.
The Hitman talk about, because he's solo and he's ready to go after the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
And Bret Hart, Bret the Hitman Hart, Mr. Perfect is dead meat.
He would never say that.
I think the worst Brett's calling you is a bum.
Yeah.
Maybe scum.
Yeah, but he wouldn't say that about Mr. Perfect.
No, he would definitely
say that about Shawn Michaels, but not Mr. Perfect.
I mean, but even in a promo, he would just be like, you know, it's like you're scum or you're a bum, you're a cheater.
But like Mr. Perfect, he would never say that about. He would be like, I'm the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Mr. Perfect, I'm going to beat you at SummerSlam.
At the SummerSlam.
And that's it. That's all he would say. And then he wouldn't call him dead meat or puke or anything like that.
No, that
this whole magazine is like besmirching Bret Hart. I feel.
What happened was somebody interviewed Road Warrior Hawk.
Yeah.
Instead, and it was, but he's wearing one of those Bret Hart masks that you got, and he was like, "Let me tell you something about Kurt Hennig." It was a rib.
Yeah.
It was the ultimate rib. So whoever wrote this, I'm assuming George Napolitano.
Yeah.
George Napolitano got ribbed.
You got ribbed. He fell for it. It was Road Warrior Hawk in a mask.
He says, after we're done with Hennig, after I kill Hennig, I'm coming for family members. Oh, man. But so that's just a story talking about how he's ready. Our main dude is ready.
Yeah. Bret Hart.
I want to point out here. So we have, we've talked about this photo before.
Yeah.
It's a picture of a wrestling hotline, and it says,
Fantastic five stars, which is what is our podcast is also five stars.
Yes, it is.
On iTunes.
And it should be if you haven't done so already. But it has, like a guy, like a wrestling muscular body with like a phone receiver as its head.
Yeah.
But I want to say one of the quotes here is the best from Chris Pope at Bump Magazine.
Yeah, Bump Magazine.
What is Bump Magazine?
I don't think
that was Bump Magazine, like the most not kayfabe magazine.
Yeah, I guess so. Learn how to bump. Yeah.
Oh, boy. And then we have an article about Rick Rude, who apparently...
Oh, it's the shirt off Rude's back. That's the shirt they're going to give away.
Rick Rude, because this is when Rick Rude, this is right before, he hasn't gotten to WCW yet. He's in between stints. He's probably waiting out whatever clauses he can wait out.
So he's signing World's Gym shirts, and then you're going to win it in the contest.
Yeah, he was, he was pumping on the indies and whatever, so...
He left WWF because he was making fun of the Big Boss Man's mom.
Yeah, well, that wasn't the reason. I think he got injured.
Well, that was the.
Well, that was Tunney.
Yeah, that was the kayfabe reason.
He suspended him for making fun of his mom.
Yeah,
and then that's how they wrote him out of the show.
And then
out of the thing,
Haku took his place. And then I remember Haku spoke like his foreign tongue about Boss Man's mom, and Bobby Heenan just laughing about it. Thought it was hilarious.
Oh, Bobby Heenan's great. Hulk Hogan talks about steroid abuse. It's literally okay. So there's this big scandalous headline on this front page.
Yeah,
it's literally just one page.
Yeah,
of this
one
article.
Page took synthetic male hormone,
and then basically it just kind of goes back and talks about the time he was on Arsenio, and he said, "Well, yeah, I'm like American made, blah blah blah, hanging and banging, brother. But when I was starting out, I had to take some steroids to help like my muscles repair better," which, that's what steroids are subscribed for.
And until 1988, steroids were perfectly legal. So he wasn't breaking any laws.
Yeah. But he did technically like lie about it.
Yeah.
I guess. Or he's not going to block me. Never. Murdoch and Slater, Armed and Dangerous. They are the hardliners. So, I don't understand. I remember, this is actually something I remember very distinctly about WCW back in 91. Because I think it was when I first started really watching wrestling again and watching, I was really focused on it. And I was watching the was whatever they talk about in here, the Clash of Champions, where it's like the Steiners against Hiroshi Haas. Is it Haas or Hayes?
I have no idea.
And probably Hayes. Haas. God, I want to say Kendo Sasaki? Kensuke Sasaki? Maybe. I'm probably wrong. And they won the match, but then all of a sudden, Dick Murdoch and Dick Slater come out, and they're dressed like dudes from like the 50s, you know, but like they're like grease mechanics, but like, you know, they look like they're wearing like work shirt, like Dickie shirts and stuff, and they have like little like newsy caps, you know. It was a very, but it was very tough, like it was kind of like Adrian Adonis kind of tough, I don't know. But they show up and they beat up the Steiners, and they basically ripped Scott's bicep, which put him out of like commission for like ever. And now I remember that disappointing me as a kid, because I wanted to, like, I liked the Steiners. I was getting into the Steiners. I didn't get to watch enough of the Steiners, but here now the Steiners aren't on TV anymore. Yeah. You know, it just got Rick. And I mean, Scott was the man, because Scott was doing all the fucking crazy shit. And so basically it's just talking about how basically they're, you know, they're trying to keep it as kayfabe as possible here, and talking about how they're kind of mercenaries.
Yeah.
You know, they'll do it for money, which I'm sure most wrestlers, wrestlers are going to do it for money. But, you know, they're just in there to collect on bounties. The Hardliners, because they're technically the Hardliners Collection Agency.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Their gimmick was that, you know, you can, they're kind of like the APA,
mm-hmm.
before the APA, but like with two extremely tough guys.
Yeah.
So it's almost exactly the APA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a nice long article here about them. You know, some good color photos. For some reason, you got like a lot of photos of them not wrestling as the Hardliners, because I don't remember any actual Hardliner matches.
No.
Like maybe I saw one or two like on Saturday night, but they didn't really wrestle. It felt like they didn't wrestle together that much, and that's kind of disappointing, because at some point, you know, Murdoch left and like Dick Slater hung around and did stuff, and he's there on and off, and that was it. And they, you know, by the time the Steiners were back, they were feuding with the Dangerous Alliance. So
I know nothing about the Hardliners, I'll be honest with you. I know nothing about them. I didn't even know they were a thing until we did this issue. So, yeah.
There was a few things in here. I do want to point out this old-ass picture of Dick Slater fighting Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, yeah, he's got him in a sleeper.
He's got him in a sleeper. It was from, like, 1984, because he's wearing the short trunks.
Yeah.
That, again, this is where they're using the pictures from, like, random...
This whole thing's kind of inspiring me to write my own magazine now. So I need old pictures like that are public domain that I can use, and then we can make our own kayfabe magazine.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some other stuff in here that I read, because it's like, again, it's a gigantic article talking about all sorts of.
Yeah. And Dick Slater pointing at his bloody face.
Yeah.
And the caption says, "You should have seen the loser."
Yeah.
Which was probably Dick Slater.
well, no, WWE, Dick Slater won a lot.
Yeah.
If you're talking to Rebel Dick Slater, then yeah, he might as well lost every match, because he was nothing in WWF. But Dick Slater everywhere else was, he was a star.
Yeah.
I just described him as the wrestling's Nick Nolte.
I like Dick Slater as the stud stable Dick Slater with the Bunkhouse Buck.
Dick Slater's probably going to block me.
Yeah. He probably will. Bunkhouse Buck's going to block me.
Yeah. Okay. Wrestling horoscopes. You want to talk about these?
So they have wrestling horoscopes in this magazine. And what's in the stars for you and your favorite wrestlers? Oh. And they go into like Capricorn. So it's just a fucking horoscope. It says, don't try to make life more complicated than it is. Sometimes the easiest solution is also the best. Your best hold, the Scorpion Deathlock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a regular horoscope, but then they give you a wrestling hold.
Yeah. So what's yours?
I'm a Leo. So when you're feeling rejected, start accepting yourself and go out and accept somebody. The worst has passed. The future looks bright. Best hold, the sleeper.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am a Gemini, so remember, those who forget the errors of their past are destined to repeat them. Be careful when making business decisions. Best hold, moonsault.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the dynamic. I cannot do a moonsault, though.
If you were a Scorpio, your horoscope would be, now is the time to forgive someone who has wronged you. A renewed friendship could bring bountiful dividends. Best hold, bear hug. Which makes sense. If you're going to forgive somebody, give them a hug.
Give them a hug.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think here. Is there any good moves that somebody has?
Pisces has the claw.
Yeah. And then the Capricorns have the Deathlock. Oh, well, the Aquarius has the Frankensteiner. Oh, nobody has a pile driver, though. I would rather have a pile driver. Oh. Diamond Dallas Page and the Diamond Exchange. Yeah. Glittering like stars. Oh, hell yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, he was managing, you know, with the for some reason, they were all in this crew.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do anything. Like, I don't remember them actually interfering. Champs. But they were champs. Yeah. You know, because they had Bad Street or Fantasia or whatever they called them. Yeah. So it was all over the place. And, you know, they talk pretty much in depth there about the Freebirds and the success they've been having as of late.
Yeah.
So
I don't see any photos of Diamond Dallas Page.
No, actually, you know what? You're right. I do not. Wait, did I skip a page here? Did we get a picture? Here we go. There's a photo. There's ZDP.
Yeah.
There he is. Oh, and here's our Ricky Morton article. Let me see here. Yeah, Ricky Morton.
Yeah.
Because actually, I like the way that they set this up, introducing Richard Morton.
Yeah, the newest member of the York Foundation. They just talk about him becoming heel.
It's not a bad article. Kind of just a lot of these articles, the way that you read a wrestling article is you basically kind of recount history and then throw in a few like fake quotes.
Yeah.
That's how you write these magazines, you know, and kind of, you know, maybe start off like with a paragraph that kind of like hypotheses or something, you know, at least for the basic ones. So, yeah, but it kind of actually goes back into, you know, kind of details a bit more of the history about how Ricky Morton, he was wrestling, you know, Robert Gibson got hurt. But he still wanted to wrestle singles. Apparently, at one point, he said that he made overtures to Sting and Brian Pillman to be his tag team partner, and they did not want to because they were busy.
Yeah, of course.
So, but he ended up tagging with Dustin Rhodes, and it was going well. And then Alexandra York showed up, and she kind of
with that laptop
that was never on.
Yeah,
and
but she had it.
She did have it.
In case it needed to turn on.
Yeah, and she told
needed to. I don't know what you're doing with a laptop in 1991, but you're not, you know, in case you need to type a document or something, you're not sending emails, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I also want to say, and I've heard a lot of takes on this, but he became a heel, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't he never changed his clothes?
No.
Never cut his hair?
No.
Like, Terry Taylor actually, like, did the slicked back hair, and he looked the part.
Yeah, he dressed the part.
Tommy Rich even did that.
Yeah.
Tommy Rich did the ponytail and wore, you know, looked nicer.
Yeah, not Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton did not give a fuck, and I kind of want to know why. Did somebody approach him?
I wish they had another Legends reunion where the old timers get together and we can go to it. And then
I have many questions about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, here's your TV results. You know, like they did last time.
Yeah.
You know, we got the results from Beach Brawl, Super Brawl, MSG, All Japan Women. It's everything. Everything.
It looks like Dustin Rhodes is wrestling somebody and Bill Alfonso's the referee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, WCW looks like he's... maybe Buddy Lee Parker.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Buddy Lee Parker or Louis Spicoli.
Probably Buddy Lee Parker.
Yeah. You got Nasty Boys.
You got Flair. Yeah, you got Flair and Sting and everything. I do want to point out, actually, and I don't know if you saw this, Joe, Call of the Wild.
Oh, Call of the Wild.
Okay. This is a 900 number.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read this to you, and you're going to wonder. You're going to want to call this number right away.
I know. I wish we could.
Call 1-900-884-FIGHT.
Okay.
To hear wrestling stories and fantasies.
Oh.
Record your own stories and fantasies. Diary of a Lady Wrestler and Confessions of a Lady Wrestler and much, much more.
Wow.
Adults only. No credit card needed. $2 per minute.
Yeah, because they just bill the phone company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear testimonials from a lady wrestler.
Yeah. Don't look at your favorite lady wrestler's vlog online. Just dial this 900 number.
Dial this 900 number.
There was no vlogs online.
If you dial this 900 number now, you will hear... a diary from
whomever this broad is. Doesn't have a name.
No, it's just a model.
Just a model.
They would do that. If they did that now, they'd probably make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, and it doesn't have to be erotic. It'd just be like, yeah, so like I had a sandwich and then like I went training and I did some CrossFit and then I went in the ring and I wrestled Nia Jax and it was dope. Goodbye.
Bye.
Please, that's $2 for me. Thank you.
Yeah, and then like on Thursday, she'd be like, I didn't have any matches today. We're not taping anything. So I woke up a little late, and then I went to the gym. I did a spin class. Then I got some poke. And then I went home.
Definitely getting poking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thrilling stuff. But you know what? You can make a killing on that.
Yeah.
You're welcome, lady wrestlers.
Yeah. Sasha Banks, Bayley. Bayley, I could see making a ton of money.
Bayley would make some. Oh, God. Because they would be like, oh, I played some video games. And you know, yeah. Just because it had to be kayfabe.
I think Bayley would probably. She wouldn't go this route. She should make a Twitch channel and people would just be donating to her all the time.
Yeah.
I feel.
So. Doesn't even play video games.
Yeah.
So we got some more results here. I do want to point out, this is actually the first time that I've actually, I know people talk about it, but I never really notice it, but I could see it in this picture. It's this picture of Paul Orndorff.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's just standing there.
Yeah.
And this is 1991 Paul Orndorff, so.
Not as jacked as 1986
no,
Paul Orndorff.
No, not as jacked, but he's also, you can tell that his left arm is atrophied.
Yeah.
You know, because that's something, you know, that happened because he was hanging and banging with the Hulkster on the road, doing the matches, making all that money, didn't want to take the time off. And that's why his arm got all fucked up.
Yeah.
So. Rick Rude and the Putski. So here's how we're ending our magazine.
Yeah, okay? Rick Rude and Ivan and Scott Putski in the gym.
Ivan Putski, a wrestler you don't care about.
I don't really care for Scott or Ivan.
Oh yeah, nobody cares about Scott.
Yeah.
You know, or Conan 2000 if you're funky.
Yeah, I don't care about the Putskis.
But apparently, yeah, these three, Rick Rude and the Putskis, went to a gym in Brooklyn and they worked out.
Yeah.
And they're very quick to point out Scott Putski's muscle-bound Bart Simpson shirt that they're very excited to see here. Check out that hot Bart Simpson t-shirt. Well,
back in the early 90s when the Simpsons were first a thing, like everyone had Simpsons clothes.
I did. Yeah. I had at least two Simpsons shirts.
I had like the one where he's like with the slingshot. And yeah, I totally
had. I had one for some reason that was him. And it was Homer was dancing and it said Shake It Homer.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had that and I wore it. I don't know.
I also don't understand why like Bart had a blue shirt on in a lot of the old t-shirts, but he never wore blue on TV.
No, he didn't.
So yeah. That always rubbed me the wrong way. I think even in the video game he's wearing blue, isn't he?
No, Bart Friends of the Mutant Space Mutants, he's wearing red.
Yeah.
And then, that's how we end this magazine.
With like, Scott Putski just posing.
Scott Putski doing a big pose wearing a Neiman Marcus hat.
Why is he wearing a Neiman Marcus hat?
Because he got a free hat.
They're like, here, Scott, wear our hat. And then we got another 900 number.
Oh, wait. So I didn't notice this here. Talk one-on-one live to a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
When these power slamming ladies, they will be appearing soon on your local cable television. Cable spelled wrong.
spell it EL.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. On a new up and coming wrestling program. And I don't even know. First of all, it's on the most saggiest ring ever.
Yeah. What's the size of those ropes?
I know. Jeez. They're gigantic gold ropes. And this woman looks like she's about to break her neck. So, yeah. Talk live here. I got to read this. Talk live to some of the most, some of the top professional lady wrestlers in the business. So, Misty Blue Sims. Or maybe you're talking to Medusa. Who knows?
Deborah Combs.
You're definitely talking to Debbie Combs.
Yeah.
They know the moves. Find out how they became pro wrestlers, because Wikipedia wasn't around then. Find out about life on the road when they tour the country.
Oh.
Find out who really is the best in the business and why. Everything you ever wanted to know about these power slamming champions and future champions. That's a weird way to end that. Power slamming champions of future champions. Instead of being like power slamming grapplers. I mean, get a fucking thesaurus.
Yeah.
Build to your phone telephone bill as sports talk. You don't want your mom finding out that you talked to a lady wrestler about what she did on Thursday.
And $4 a minute for this one.
$4 a minute. And it's based out of Canoga.
Wow.
Canoga Park. So yeah, we got some local businesses here.
Yeah.
1-900-470-SLAM.
Yeah.
Not as good as, not as good as the other one, I bet, with Bayley on it.
Who called these?
I want to know. I want to know who, first of all, who worked on these.
Yeah.
And then I want to know who they talked to.
Yeah.
And what kind, if they made any money off of this.
I highly doubt it.
This is definitely, if you're talking 90, 91, this has definitely got, like, Dave McLean from GLOW, like, his fingerprints all over this. Like, there's something about that if you're just getting women just make a quick buck. Because, you know, GLOW's already over by this point.
Yeah.
And they need to make some sort of money.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. Because I don't really feel that this is an out-and-out sex line at all.
No, it's wrestling.
But it's wrestling, but it's also, like, the way that they kind of want to make you think is it could be a sex line, but it's
totally not. You're just talking to a woman wrestler.
Yeah.
And you're not even talking to an actual woman wrestler. You're talking to a recording. Because I remember I did once, my father said I can call Captain Lou's hotline.
Okay.
And I thought I was going to talk to Captain Lou. And call the line, and it's just blah, 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 blah. And wrestling news, Hulk Hogan beat this guy. Mike Rotundo did this, blah, blah, blah. I just, and that was it. Yeah. But I remember answering the phone being like, hi, Captain Lou. Got that from WWOR.
I remember I called the 1-900-7374-WWF number once. And here's how they scammed you. So they gave you a menu, and you press the button of which story you wanted to hear. So I would press like whatever button to hear one story, and they would just send you to another story. So you're like just constantly pressing buttons and then hoping you're getting it right. So that way you had to be on the phone the whole time and hear all the stories, and then they would make all their money that way. Mm. That was how WWF's number worked. So
probably WCW's number worked that way too.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, the 1-900-909-9900. That was the Mean Gene one, yeah.
Nice.
WCW one. I don't remember ECW's.
It was 1-900-ECW.
Yeah.
Fight.
But that's the end of this issue.
Yeah. TV Wrestlers from December 1991.
Yeah, if you want. We're going to put these on YouTube now, so you can check it out on YouTube at Sweatpants Joe on Twitter and Instagram, and Angry Hero Sean at Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, and you can all, yeah, Angry Hero Sean. You can also find myself on Worst Collection Ever,
yeah,
another podcast on Apple Podcasts that I do with my wife about comic books. And of course, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please rate, subscribe, download this show, give us 5 stars
if you think we deserve it. 5 stars, please. Yes, just like you would your Uber driver. Rate us 5 stars.
Rate us 5 stars if you think we deserve it, because we probably do. I don't know. Even if you don't think we don't, give us 5 stars.
Yeah. It'll be awesome. Tell us we suck in the comments.
Yeah, do that.
But don't tell us we suck in the comments.
I don't know. We'll know. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll be okay.
And if you know Hulk Hogan, tell him to unblock Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a hold of Terry. Let him know. Let him know I'm sorry.
So it's hot as balls in here. I got to turn my air conditioner on. So that's it for this issue.
All right. See you guys next time.